The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hello, Jax. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well for a beautiful Tuesday here in New York City, and it's Fendi Skims launch day. So I've been up and at 'em since early this morning, waiting with bated breath to see what I could snag. And I got pretty much what I wanted.
Good, because this is what you got. I got some stuff too. I'm not going to lie. I was a little jilted. Is that the right word? By the prices.
Yes, but had you not seen them before?
No. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see. And it was just like $2,900 for a jacket. Like, hello.
The puffer.
So I didn't get exactly what I wanted because I'm a reasonable human being, but I still did get stuff. And you know what's so great is that you can return it.
I didn't realize that before I checked out, that you can return stuff. I would have bought even more. See if I liked it.
I didn't realize that either. But now, like, I had a pit about, like, spending so much money before 9 a.m.
Same. I actually took something out of my cart. And now me I'm too. Like, I'm a fool.
Yeah.
Fool. Everything's sold out. It's all going to be marked up. It was an investment. I played the stock market this morning and I just didn't have the heart for
it. Yeah, no, and it's like I can't imagine that, like, if I get something and I don't end up wearing it and the tags are still on it, like, it has a decent value, right?
Yeah, I
stock
think
X,
so.
Here I come.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, Skims, like, cheapens the Fendi brand or it elevates it.
I think the fact that it is a limited edition thing.
Collab.
I mean, Fendi puts out clothes all the time. They don't have a drop that sells out.
No.
In 10 minutes. Literally everything was, like, just flying off the shelves if you were online. Hope you guys got what you wanted. But it was really crazy to see. I imagine that the Fendi team is like, whoa.
Blown away. Yeah, they don't sell like this. Because it's just so expensive. And the fact that it's so expensive, I thought we would have at least 30 minutes. Like, I didn't think we would have, like, classic Kylie Lip Kit numbers.
Yeah,
like,
no, I was kind of taking my time.
Me
but,
too.
And I missed out on one thing that was in my cart that dropped out of my cart that I was excited about because it would have looked cute. It was hard to do the shop pregnant because I wanted to get stuff that I could wear now.
No. It's also tight and, like, bodycon.
I know. So I just... I, like, ordered a size up and everything. It'll fit me when I'm not pregnant. Hopefully it fits me when I'm pregnant.
Yeah. No, it's very exciting. Congrats to Kim. Congrats to us for securing the things
bag.
We needed to secure. Mm-hmm. And it's just a gorgeous day. It's Tuesday. We have Dear Toasters for you guys today, which is a personal favorite of mine and millions of toasters. And yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, you know, just chilling. It's been a nice week. I feel like yesterday I finished a book, watched a lot of TV, started a new book, spent quality time with Bruseldorf.
So important.
So it was just a really well-rounded day. Still enjoying all of my post-birthday sweets and treats.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I gotta come over.
You do. I have everything.
I have, like, nothing in my home.
It's like I have to make a concerted effort to eat vegetables and healthy foods because
right.
I have so many sweet treats.
You're not gonna poop.
That's true. I'm that's, like, not an issue for me.
You're pretty regular?
Yeah, I don't have to think about it. Like,
how nice.
My body does what it needs to do. And if it's been a few days, I don't even realize, you know?
Yeah. That's totally.
Right? You don't have poop issues.
No, I really don't. But Margot Ashray once told me that, like, she poops every morning, like, the second she wakes up. And I'm like, that's psychotic.
That's, like, a really intimate detail.
But can I tell you that it's been happening to me recently? And it's a delight. Like, a great way to just, like, drop off the kids before you wake up.
That's really, we're just getting to a place.
So let us know.
Where
do
I'd
you
like
poop
to come
in the
I would like to come back from this conversation.
Okay, well, we both watched Curb Your Enthusiasm.
We did.
Which, by the way, I feel like calling it Curb Your Enthusiasm is, like, so weird because it's called Curb.
Sure.
No, like, I just feel weird saying Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's, like, not the name of the show.
Okay, so say Curb.
Yeah, it was just pointing out that I said it weird.
Okay.
And I thought it was good.
I thought it was so good. It was like giving me old school Curb vibes, and the quandaries that Larry found himself in were very real. The middling in the table was hysterical.
Yes, and it's a really, really true point. Like, only true charismatic gals, such as ourselves, can really sit in the middle of a dinner party, at a dinner table of a dinner party.
I don't go to that many dinner parties where it's like a mixture of people where the conversation needs to be finessed like that. So I actually don't know if I'm the girl to middle. I don't think I am. I think I'm, you know, a side, just chiming in, but I'm not the person that's gonna like conduct conversation.
Well, the thing is, like, I am a great middle, but I don't want to be. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, I could see a dinner party that I could, like, finesse fabulously and sit in the middle. But, like, I will be selfish and take my talents to the corner.
Yeah, just because I want to do it on my terms. I'm not working here tonight, you know. But I could do it if I needed to. Like, that's what we do on the show. We make conversation. We have thought-provoking discussions. Yep. I have it in me. That's just not what I want to do in my spare time.
100%.
You know?
100%.
But would you rather then have someone else in the middle and then you're at a boring dinner party?
Right.
Knowing that you have so much to give that you could spice this thing up.
Yeah. And then you're just a, like, these are the consequences of your own actions at that point. Like, you didn't middle and now you're paying the price.
Yeah. So it's tough. You get in what you put out.
And it was a good episode. Like, I felt like the first two episodes of the season were actually, like, some of the worst ever. Mm-hmm. And this one was good. Like, I chuckled a bunch.
Me too. I chuckled a bunch. And the setups were good. There weren't too many things happening.
Yeah.
All good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I just, I'm still, like, yearning for a Curb that commentates on, like, what's currently going on in the world or what was going on in the world when they were filming. And, like, so as good as this episode could have been, like, it's not what it needed to be still.
Understood. But we're gonna have to change level set.
I just keep, like, waiting for, like, the other shoe to drop.
It's over. Yeah. No, it's not happening.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Devastating.
I also, so I was reading this book called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. I think it was a Reese's Book Club choice. I just finished it yesterday and it was pretty good, in case anybody was thinking about reading it. It's like everywhere, you know, it's like a super popular book, but yeah, it didn't do much for me, but it was a pleasant read. Like, I was hopping along.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started a new book that actually Lauren Bostick recommended to us when we were on her podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Good Morning Monster.
Yeah.
And so it's nonfiction and it's about a
nonfiction is not real.
Nonfiction is real.
I'll never understand. Okay.
Fiction is, like, you know, novel.
No, I'm
made up.
Literally a New York Times bestselling author, and, like, I can't figure it out. I don't even know when I tried to find myself on the New York Times bestselling list. Like, I didn't know which list I was, like, nonfiction or fiction.
You are nonfiction. Mostly what we read is fiction. Colleen Hoover's fiction.
Yeah. Like, fake stories.
So I have had this, like, wanting to read for a while. I just, like, was like, this is an interesting choice. It's a therapist who's sharing the stories of five of the most memorable patient she ever had. Mm-hmm. So last night I finished the first patient and it's a great story. It's like really getting me into like a psycho therapist analysis vibe, but it's good. It's definitely expanding my mind.
That's good.
Yeah. So it was a good recommendation.
Speaking of Reese's Book Club, yesterday I actually found myself on like a rabbit hole of Reese Witherspoon's Instagram. And I guess it just like never occurred to me like how rich she is. Like, she does the most. First of all, just being like Reese Witherspoon, all the movies, all the TV shows, the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
Her best work is like these days. Like, she's not even close to being done Big Little Lies. But then there's Reese's Book Club, which like has so many followers. I was just like looking into it because I think I was looking at the Redheads. Remember I was telling you how the Redheads Instagram was so impressive? So I went on like a book club rabbit hole, and then I got to Reese, and then I got to her Draper James. Like, she's just busy and rich.
And Hello Sunshine.
Hello Sunshine.
And that's probably the biggest of them all.
And that's the one that was like Blackstone just, which one of her projects just literally got valued at $1 billion or got purchased for $1 billion? Hello Sunshine.
Probably.
That's like the umbrella, right?
It is. And I think it's also the biggest endeavor of hers.
It's like the TV network.
Morning show is Hello Sunshine. Little Fires Everywhere was Hello Sunshine. Right. So like she chooses
her production.
These books and then she makes them into shows. And
no,
she,
it's synergy.
It's really so smart. And
no,
she's
crazy.
So good at it. And yeah, she's really cornered the market on books.
And it's like she's done this huge business empire thing, but she's also still acting in some of the best work, most critically acclaimed, still being nominated for awards. Like,
but
it's
also
crazy.
Like the things that she's working on, in and on.
Are Hello Sunshine.
So it's just all going back into Reese's pocket.
Synergy. It's honestly brilliant.
Yeah. No, she's doing her thing.
And then there's the Draper James of it all, which personally isn't for me, but people are obsessed. It's like, yeah, a Southern vibe clothing line.
Yeah. Not for, I've never shopped it.
Me neither.
But Good for Reese.
No, it was just like crazy. Like she's like one of the richest celebrities. Like, and she's just like so underrated.
No, and she's so influential.
Yes. Like if she puts her thing on your book, it's like over for you.
Oh, that for sure. But like she, like, must be so nice to like pick up a book, be like, this would make a great movie, and go make it.
No, and then like it actually be good.
Yeah. And she's also doing Where the Crawdads Sing movie.
Of course she is.
And that is just like the biggest book of the last 3 years.
It's crazy. Like,
well, second.
Yes, biggest. Reese.
Second biggest book.
Thank you so much. Available at girlwithnojob.com/book. Also, if you head over to that website, you get tickets to my tour. It's like low-key really soon. And like I've had like consistent nightmares about it for like the past 2 weeks. That's how I know it's getting really close.
Also, you just like popped up one day and added a show in New York City. Didn't tell your sisters. Yes. Didn't tell anyone.
Well, so I added 2 shows in New York. I like to get started in New York. I'm doing them at City Winery. I really opened it up only to the Patreon members. Because I like to warm up in front of a small crowd, in front of like people, the Patreon members are just like my family. So like it's basically a friends and family show. They're 2 really small shows. They're only about 100 people each at City Winery at the end of this month. Like they're really soon.
First of all, I didn't know about it until they sold out and people were like, can someone sell me your New York City tickets? I was like, girl, where have you been? There is no New York City show. I'm like, right. Where have I been?
Right.
Then I was like, oh, she finally added New York. I guess that's like at the end of the tour. So I was like, maybe it's 2022. Right. And then I realized, no, it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, it's not like, it's really just.
No, I understand what it is
to
now.
Get comfortable.
No, I understand. I'm so excited for you. I understand what it is now. I just had no idea.
Do you want to know why?
You're just like dropping.
Do you want to know why? Like, I feel like in the past and like up until recently, like every time I farted, I would like put it in our group chat.
Yes.
And I just feel like people were getting like annoyed with my updates. So I just stopped, you know?
Okay, so here, like, why does it have to be all or nothing?
It's not.
Like, I just every feel like, fart or no updates.
No, now I feel like I'm putting in, like, just, like the sharts.
Okay.
Like, the major life-changing farts, not, like, the, I'm doing just a 100-person like, show. Like, no one cares.
No, but we care because it's New York, but.
But, like, you'll
but
be there.
But, like, here's the thing. Just, it's okay. You can share.
No, it's fine. I'll stop bothering everyone with my major success. Like, it's definitely annoying. I could totally understand. So then don't come at me like you didn't tell me. Like, sorry, you were not loving, like, the updates when I was giving them, so I just stopped giving them.
Who came at you? Was that meant you. Towards me?
You, right now.
No, I was
right
just now. Explaining the journey that I went on, and I was excited for you.
And I was explaining, like, how I've been, you know, put down by my family. Kidding. You know, it was just like a small thing. It's gonna be fun and light and fun. And City Winery, I've actually never been to. Oh, actually, we have. Oh, were you there? Yes.
I wasn't there when you were there, but I've been there.
It's a gorgeous
separately.
Venue.
Waterfront.
It's gonna be like so intimate. I made the room really small. I just wanted to like go through my material, launch a show in like
take
a warm,
the temperature,
safe space.
Take
yeah.
the temperature.
Practice some new jokes, and it's gonna be super fun.
That's awesome. I'm happy for everyone who got tickets. It was just a surprise for all of us, I guess.
Yeah, well, don't worry. Like, I care about you, so I got you a ticket.
We were all really surprised.
No, for sure. I guess I really did forget to tell you guys. But, like, it was, in my mind, just, like, not important.
No, I forget to tell people important stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Don't hold it against me.
It happens to me and Ben all the time.
It happens to me and Zach. That's what I'm talking about.
I think it's because, like, you're, like, my husband in a lot of ways. Like, and so, I don't know, like, something major will happen, and I'll literally gaslight Ben. I'm like, no, I told you.
No, this is why we don't tell our husbands that. And I've thought about it, but it's hard. They still, Zach won't accept this answer. But when I first hear about something that would be, like, an amazing opportunity for us, when it first comes across my desk, I'm not telling anyone, we're not telling people about it because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So then by the time it actually is happening,
you forgot.
It's not new to us. It's not like, oh, I need to tell you this thing. But if I told you about every maybe exciting thing that happened, you'd be disappointed as often as I am.
So
and also, you can't tell someone something exciting and big before it happens because otherwise you'll jinx it.
Jackie, that's a brilliant assessment.
So by the time it happens, it's old news to me.
Right. No, that's true.
So that's why you don't tell him.
I forget to tell Ben's like major things all the time.
Same.
Or like if I'm going somewhere, like literally I'll be on my way to the airport, I'll be like, where are you going? I'm like, I told you I'm going to Coachella. Like, you know.
Oh, that's a little crazy.
No, I know.
But no, that's the reason why.
Yeah, that's good.
There's never a moment where it's like, okay, it's safe to tell people and this is still new to us.
Yeah. So true.
It's like, where have you been? That was 6 months ago. We found out.
Keep up. So yeah, tour kicks off soon. Tickets available at girlwithnojob.com/tour. I have to say, pretty much all my shows are like sold out or like they're 8 months away and like they will be sold out except for Detroit. So I just really need the Detroit Toasters. I chose Detroit, hand-picked Detroit, because the last time I was there, they put me at this enormous venue, and I'm like, guys, what are you doing? They're like, just trust us. And I did trust them, and it sold out immediately. It was one of my biggest shows on the last tour, which is so random. So I'm like, I've got to show love to my Detroisters. Detroisters. Ooh, that's good. And literally, like, I need you guys to sell the show out or just, like, buy some tickets, okay? Detroit.
Or, girlsonjob.com/tour. If you haven't gotten a ticket to a tour and, like, you want to see some friends, maybe, like, a weekend in Detroit. Weekend Make it a Detroit. Weekend.
You know, the last time I was in Detroit, I stayed at this sickening casino called Motor City Casino. It's, like, a gorgeous affair. Like, spend the weekend there.
Cool. That sounds fun.
But other than that, I'm all set.
I'm all set. We can jump right in. We have some good stories today. We have Dear Toasters. So let's just, without further ado, head into the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
I just want to say we're like now at that period in life where it's fucking hot in the studio because it's like cold outside, so the heat is on in here, and I'm going to be start showing up in t-shirts, and I don't want to hear from anyone, okay?
Okay, just want to let you know the heat is not on.
It is so fucking hot in here. No, I felt this way yesterday.
I think what it is it's nice outside. It's like 50 degrees according to WeatherSnitch. There's no heat or AC on.
I'm hot.
So you're just like in a room.
I'm like sticky and I'm not happy about it.
I'm sorry. I'm actually perfectly comfortable.
But you know what I am happy about?
You look perfectly comfortable.
What's that from?
The cotton commercials where...
Yes. Oh my, that's such a specific reference. I thought that was like an iconic like Legally Blonde moment, you know? The cotton commercial? Okay.
Where's neckline?
You really have been... like staying at home a lot watching TV. Today's episode is brought to you by Public Rec. We all settle for traditional retail sizes, but why? What does a medium person look like? How can two people wear a medium when they're completely different heights? Pants are made to fit one type of body, and everyone else has to settle for a less than perfect fit. Well, that's why you've got to check out Public Rec. They make athleisure in waist and inseam sizes because they believe comfort starts with a better fit. Their all-day jogger is a first-of-its-kind technical pant available in waist and inseam sizes. This means women can shop based on their unique proportions. No more settling for small, medium, or large. They're perfect pants for working out, going out. They're highly versatile, and they've got you covered whatever life has to throw at you. They have 30 combination sizes and 4 different length options, so their joggers will fit your body perfectly in all the right places. I've always thought as like a big person with short legs, it's so unfair like how they make stuff. And the fact that every single place on earth doesn't give you an option for length is so unfair. And that's why Public Rec, like, they're the best leggings, because I usually get like bunches at the bottom of my ankles and they leave like prints on my ankles because I have so much extra material because I'm so short. But not with the Public Rec ones. You can literally measure from top to bottom.
It's amazing. You choose like your size of yourself and then your inseam length, and they're literally like custom made.
And they don't only sell joggers, they got t-shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, all that are super comfortable. We've never had pants that fit so well. It's really a game-changing website. Check out Public Rec. They rarely do discounts, but right now we have an exclusive offer just for the Toast listeners. Go to publicrec.com and use the code Toast for 10% off. That's publicrec.com, promo code Toast for 10% off.
Okay, our first story. Heartbroken Kim Kardashian addresses Astroworld tragedy on Instagram, as did Kendall, and there was a repost from Khloe. Kim has weighed in on the deaths that took place at Travis Scott's Astroworld concert festival on Friday. She said, absolutely heartbroken for the lives who were lost and anyone who was hurt at Astroworld. Just like all of you, our family is in shock by the tragedy. We are keeping all of the victims, families, and loved ones impacted in our prayers for healing, as well as Travis, who we know cares so much about his fans and is truly devastated. So Khloe reposted that statement, and then Kendall put out a statement of her own.
As did Drake.
As you Drake, yes.
Yeah. I find it interesting that, like, people, like, and we spoke about this yesterday, people are really looking at the Kardashians here, like, keeping a microscope on them, like, seeing what they'll do and feeling like they're partially to blame, which I just don't agree with.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a difference between, like, Kylie and Kendall's response, because they were there, versus the rest of the family was in LA celebrating Chris's birthday.
Right, and I think for a lot of people, it was... in their minds, like, a little out of touch for them to be, like, posting all these videos all weekend, like, flowers, while all of this was going down. So I am glad that they released a statement. But again, it's not... it's, I mean, it's just a sad thing that happened in general to the world. Like, we should all be talking about it. We should all be, like, thinking about it. So I think, like, them releasing a statement is great. But again, I think people are just, like, really wanting to hear from Kylie.
Yeah. And I this... and it was nice that they shared. And I'm sure it's affected their... their whole family, because it's affected Kylie, and, you know, they're all one big unit. But again, I mean, people who are waiting to hear from the Kardashians and, like, on this, it's like, it's a little far removed.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Honestly, I was curious to hear what Drake was going to say, because Drake was there, and the climax of the show was when Drake came out, and Drake did release something, I think yesterday or last night, just kind of saying how he hates putting things on Instagram, but like,
that's,
you know,
the way it goes. That's the,
and he's just like praying, and I just think, I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know like where we're, who we're blaming, what's going on, but I actually did hear something interesting about the whole ticket refund.
Oh, what did you hear?
And like, there are people, like lawyers are warning certain people maybe not to accept the refund, because if you read the terms and conditions, you're like agreeing to not litigate or not sue. So just like to be really careful of accepting the refund.
Oh, that's interesting. A lot of the concert goers have already started the lawsuit process. There are like two big lawyers in Houston who are representing a lot of different people. Also, I saw yesterday Travis is partnering with BetterHelp to get like mental health services for the people who like
experience it.
Because like not only were there the physical injuries, hundreds of them, but so many people saw
terrible things,
bodies, like awful, awful things. And even to just that, even if you didn't see that stuff, and just knowing that you were at a concert where
It's very taxing.
It's a lot to process. Yeah. So he is trying to help people get that sort of help.
Okay, I actually think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like the conversations people are having and just like what's been going on. It's really, I just can't get over how like crazy it is that this whole thing happened in general.
Yeah, and then I'm sure you saw yesterday, but one of the people who is critically injured in a coma was a 9-year-old boy.
Yes, I did. And I saw a picture of him and he was really cute. And it's so sad.
It's so sad.
And did they identify that person?
I didn't see it, but I
really hope so. That's such a terrible way to find out that like your son or your brother passed away.
Yeah.
It's just everything that keeps coming out about this story is more horrible than the next. And I think just people are really angry and they're looking for a place to direct their anger. And like, I understand that. I do.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of places where anger needs to be directed.
Yeah.
Because it's like it was just a storm of a lot of different ingredients that need to be looked at going forward. And just as a society.
Yeah.
You know?
I still can't believe that this happened. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's the craziest thing. And that, I know I keep saying that, but it's like the only thing. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And I just feel really sad. So I hope everything, I hope everyone who sues gets what they need. Like, for real.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, our next story. Switching gears. Jeff Bezos tweets Leonardo DiCaprio a Titanic-sized threat after girlfriend Lauren Sanchez swoons over the actor.
Okay, this is actually funny.
So, as you guys probably saw this video, it's on our Instagram, so go watch it if you haven't yet, of Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez meeting Leo at the LACMA Art and Film Gala in L.A., and Lauren is all about Leo.
Yeah, it's a really interesting video. Just like reading the body language, mm-hmm. it's just so interesting. Like Leo can't get away from Lauren fast enough. Lauren is like licking her lips, like nestling in his armpit.
It's giving Ramona.
It's giving Ramona Singer. Yes.
That, like, if you guys watch Roni, like, imagine
Leo. You know
Leo.
How she flirts.
Leo, like, is Harry Dubin. Lauren is Ramona. And it's the eyes. And it's the, like.
Jackie, that is so fucking true.
Oh, Liam.
Yes, literally.
So the internet was obviously, you know.
Ablaze.
Ablaze with this video. Barstool posted, Leo is Mr. Steal Your Girl. And then Jeff Bezos wrote on Monday, he posted a picture leaning over a sign that says, danger, steep cliff, fatal drop. And he said, Leo, come over here. I want to show you something.
It's actually a really funny response.
That is so funny that you find it so funny.
Oh, you know what?
Like, because that he got a laugh out loud from you.
No, because, I mean, I've seen this 100 times and, like, I was like, oh, he's, like, a weenie. But then sometimes, like, the way you read it just made me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Jeff Bezos, like, I don't know him at all.
No.
Like,
that's a good
every
point.
Time,
you don't.
No, like, every time his personality comes through, I'm just like, who is this man? Like, what is this
when
man?
When you saw, like, him laughing, like, before he went to space, he was like,
when he was wearing cowboy boots with his space suit. Outfit. Like, I just, every time he does something, it's so radically
unexpected.
Different from, like, who I thought he would be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another iteration of that.
I love people who can laugh at themselves and who can, like, get in on the joke and are good sports. And to me, this is, like, the perfect example of it. Like, literally, his girlfriend is, like, drooling over Leonardo DiCaprio. And, like, he makes a joke about it. Because, like, even if you're the richest man in the world, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is Leonardo DiCaprio. Right. And I just thought this was like, you know what? I really like this response.
You respect it.
I do.
Yeah, I do. I do too.
Like everyone was laughing at him and now they're laughing with him.
Yeah, because otherwise that video was just
sad.
Yikes.
Yikes bikes. Like it was painful. But knowing like he thinks it's funny, like, yeah, of course, like I'm the richest man in the world and even I can't keep a woman away from Leonardo. Like that's funny.
Yeah, I agree.
And okay. I really have respect for this response. Like it's funny.
That's okay, cool.
Yeah. And like
some good news for Jeff Bezos.
When you're a billionaire, like you don't have to respond to like moronic internet viral content culture. But he did, and it was funny, and he came out on top.
Yeah. Do you think now that I've been watching Succession and like watching Kendall Roy try and like get fire tweets out, you know, that's like part of his
it's so sad
strategy, yeah. Like hiring all these people to write like cool takes.
Yeah.
Do you think that he had like a team of people who submitted responses to him and he chose the best one?
It's possible when you're that rich, but it's really giving me like dad humor. Like
organic.
Yeah. Like he had the picture in his phone. He's in like waiting to use it. Like, because I don't think he took that picture today. It's like from, you know, one of him and Lauren's trips.
Yeah.
And you know what? This whole thing just reminded me that him and Lauren are still together.
I know.
Like they were such big news. National Enquirer, I want to get drunk with you. Not too drunk. Read the newspaper in the morning. His texts were leaked. It was so embarrassing. And then they kind of like disappeared. So I'm like, well, did that whole scandal break them or are they still together? And I just never really followed up on it. But now I know for sure that they are still together. And I went, this whole moment caused me to go find her Instagram. And it's so interesting.
I've been there before.
It's so like, it's giving trophy wife. It is. And it's amazing.
Yeah. No, they're kind of cute.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm like not entirely not here for it, you know?
Yeah. No, and the proof is in the pudding, as we always say. It's been a long time because we reported on those texts like in the old studio.
Yeah.
So it's like 2 years at least.
And I want to get drunk with you.
But not too drunk. Ooh, no.
No. No, I just want to wake up and read the newspaper with you.
Oh, no.
Now I'm like, now that I'm like getting to know Jeff and I read those texts, like it's kind of sweet.
Yeah. No, Jeff, do your thing. Don't let the haters stop you.
Don't let the haters stop you. Yes.
But do you also think he's like encroaching on Elon Musk's vibe a little bit of like quirky, funny guy?
No, because Elon has like a very definite like personality. Like we know Elon 100%. Jeff Bezos is kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. Like we never know what we're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates.
I feel like if it wasn't for Elon, he wouldn't lean into this side of himself. Obviously. So much.
Elon's had so much success.
But he wants to be like the affable billionaire.
Yeah. And he's not going to be because like we can smell his desperation from New York. But we do appreciate the effort.
Yeah. And they're landing. These things are landing. So it's going well.
So now I'm thinking like maybe he does have a team of people writing tweets for him.
I do think that he does. And I think that he's always, you know, one step behind Elon.
Yeah. And whereas, like, no one has the keys to Elon's Twitter. Like, it's all Elon.
No one is giving Elon cool takes for Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Carol Baskin says she joined. Ugh, enough. No, but I thought this story was interesting. Can you just give it a minute?
I'll give it a minute.
Carol Baskin says she joined a secret support group for traumatized celebrities.
Oh, I haven't been invited.
Carol Baskin, who was accused in the 2020 documentary series of having murdered her husband and fed his body to exotic cats, claims that there is a secret support group for A-listers traumatized by the trials of fame. And she said
she's being kicked out now for telling people.
Yeah, or maybe she like stopped attending. She said that she was invited to join it after the Tiger King phenomenon made her into a public pariah. She said on a podcast that as the Netflix show was becoming a smash hit and she was turning into a household name, somebody reached out to her and said, quote, I have this group of celebrities and we meet, or before COVID we would meet. I forget what day it was that they met each week, but they would meet once a week and they'd all get together and they'd talk about what it was like to live their lives. She said, and I can see why celebrities run around in dark glasses and scarves and ducking like they're running from the law from one place to another, because it's overwhelming to just be constantly surrounded by people. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't say who the members of the group were, but she said there were 21 or 22 people and that there were only 3 or 4 people in the group that she didn't recognize. And that was only because they were sports personalities and she doesn't keep up with athletes.
Okay, you know what? Like, this does sound like something that would exist. I don't know if it's actually that cool would they actually invite Carol Baskin, but it does kind of bring something up like about Carol Baskin. I know you didn't watch Mm-mm. Tiger King, but like homegirl was villainized when at the end of the day, there's literally no actual proof or evidence police wise that she killed her husband. And two, like at the end of the day, she was the only person in that documentary who gave a shit about the tigers. Like she was the one running a sanctuary. The others were the ones like keeping them in cages, like stealing their sperm to like make more So, like, low-key, we're all like, Joe Exotic, haha. Like, it's actually a really unethical story. Like, Joe Exotic did not care about the animals. Like, he kept them in zoos, whereas Carol was rescuing and taking care of all the animals that these morons like Joe Exotic were doing, bringing them over from, like, Africa. So, yeah, they made her into a murderer when low-key she didn't murder anyone, allegedly. There's no proof.
But, yeah.
Like, she could have, but there's no proof.
But it's circumspect.
Right. So, like, there's no proof that she... So, she really did get, like, the short end of the stick, and she, like, got turned into a joke. Like, remember that prankster who, like, thought she was gonna... She thought she was gonna be on Jimmy Fallon? These YouTubers pranked her into thinking, like, she was, like, a national joke. And, like, I do feel bad for her when, like, low-key she just cares about the animals.
Yeah.
So, the fact that this group could exist, like, does make sense to me, and now I'm dying to be invited.
Yeah, like, who else do you think
What's is the criteria? Because I'll expose myself a little bit, like get another cancellation just to be invited.
Yeah.
Say something but crazy.
It's like, if it's A-listers, would they really reach out to like someone right. going through it? I guess Tiger King was the biggest show it of was. The year. So that would make Carol Baskin an A-lister?
No, but it would make her like a momentary A-lister.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe like if the people in the group, you know, they saw what she was going through, they were like, let's have her in.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Because like the thing is, when you ask pretty much anyone in Hollywood, I was just reading... a tweet, but Dakota Johnson did an interview and she was asked, or she spoke about how like she's worked with a lot of people who have been canceled, and they were naming like Armie Hammer and
I saw
Casey Affleck, I think.
Okay.
And she was just like, cancel culture, blah, blah. Like people in Hollywood like do not subscribe to like cancellations, even though like you think that they would.
Yes and no, because I do feel like maybe in their hearts it's like they might not cut this person out of their life, but then they go public and they're like, I don't agree right. with what so-and-so did. And like, they've just got to throw each other under the bus.
Yeah.
Like the industry just calls for
but
that.
But whenever any person in Hollywood is asked about like cancellations and just cancel culture in general, they're like vehemently against
right,
it.
Right. Of course. You won't hear anyone say like, I am for the cancellations. But then like, everyone's like, I'm against cancel culture, but.
Yeah. Totally.
But what?
But I would just love to know who's in this group. Like, if it's in fact true and it is in fact A-list.
Yeah. No, it definitely gives you something to think about.
But if it's a secret society, like, and she's talking about it on a podcast, the first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club, so.
Yeah, no, she probably won't be invited back.
Yeah, but, like, she didn't know, you know?
No, I think she probably did. But maybe she stopped going. Maybe she's healed.
Yeah, I hope so. I wish healing. I will pray for her. I really will.
Yeah, it just makes you think about it in a different way, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what? Like, those stupid documentaries, like, about nothing, like, they just take a side, you know? Mm-hmm. And this documentary was, like, so clearly anti-Carol Baskin. But you know what? Carol Baskin, in my eyes, and in the eyes of the law, has done nothing wrong yet. So, let's just keep that in mind.
Thank you, Claudia. Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's brought to you by Home Medics. I know you're obsessed, Jackie.
I am. Home Medics is a new sponsor, and they sent us these products that just... It felt like Christmas morning, and, like, Santa knew exactly what I needed and wanted, because they are, like, a home massage, spa, everything. So they have, like, this foot massager, which my feet have been killing me. You just put your little feetsies in there. You can get the massage, turn on heat, turn on air pressure. It's amazing. It's, like, remote-controlled. I'll just sit there with Brew, and we're, like, zzzz.
As we get older, everything is getting sore, and we just don't recover like we used to. So that's why you've got to check out Home Medics. They've got a whole line of massage products, from a massage gun with built-in hot and cold technology to a massage cushion that lets you lie down or sit up depending on your therapeutic needs, to a 3-in-1 foot massager with vibration so powerful it loosens the muscles in your legs and lower back. Their massagers will address all your pain points from head to toe. So yes, we tried the massage cushion and the foot massager. The foot massager is just a great thing to leave it by your couch. Like whenever you're watching TV, whether you're cold, you're hot, it's fabulous. Like, we're on our feet all day. Like, we deserve to relax.
Yeah, you guys, this has been a game changer for me. Really, my feet and my back, they're shot.
Yeah, for you especially.
And the cushion and the massager, it's like having one of those amazing massage places in your house.
Yeah. Whether you're dealing with chronic pain or you're just looking to help your muscles recover from a workout, we've got good news. Right now, if you go to homemedics.com/toast, use the promo code toast, you'll receive a free portable phone sanitizer when you buy $100 or more in massage products. And that's a $60 value. So that's homedics.com/toast. Use the promo code toast for your free portable phone sanitizer with $100 massager purchase. That's a great gift with purchase, that phone sanitizer. Your husband's obsessed with his.
Yeah. Also, just a great gift for anyone as we approach gifting season and you're trying to get creative.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hi. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Is that the Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC.
Yeah, same thing.
Our next story. Fans are demanding that James Corden be kept out of the Wicked movie.
Yes, I saw change.org is quaking.
Aspiring Glindas and Elphabas across the nation are putting their differences aside and joining forces to ask that James Corden be kept as far away from Oz as possible. A change.org petition demanding that Corden be left out of Universal's Wicked movie launched over the weekend and has amassed more than 34,000 signatures. They say the request is simple. James Corden in no way, shape, or form should be in or near the production of the Wicked movie. That's pretty much it.
Okay, so I feel two ways about this.
Okay, me too, because one, I saw this headline... funny. Okay, I'm laughing. Sure.
Yeah. No, and actually, like, James Corden, like, has actually not been in a successful musical. So, like, for the sake of the, like, the curse, I do think he should be left out. But yes. It's also really mean.
It's so mean. And, like, why does it have to be, like, for, like, why does someone have to get so propped up? We're all obsessed with James Corden. Host this, host that, be in this, be in that. And then, the, like, we just decide that it's getting a little much for us when we're the ones who were consuming all of this to begin with.
Carpool karaoke.
And then it has to be a change.org petition.
Yeah, no, this is, like, the cycle of, like, of celebrity fandom and how toxic it is.
It's giving Anne Hathaway.
It's giving Anne Hathaway 100%.
Like, and it's just the way we treated Anne wasn't right back then.
No, you're right. So, and she has fucking trauma.
We need to learn from that.
No, you're 100% right. But, like, also, I don't want him in the movie. So, like, what do we do about that? No, I'm being dead serious. Like,
yeah.
But maybe that's just because I've been conditioned to find him annoying because, like, partially because he is annoying and partially because, like, people just are like, how annoying is this video of James Corden? And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is annoying.
I don't
but know. If you followed anyone around and, like, videoed the annoying things that they did, like, my God, anyone would become hated. Yes, I agree. It's just really mean. Like, this is just, like, mean, like, James's feelings.
No, and it's just we need to do better. Like, I know. When it's a cycle, you know? I understand why
James
people.
James has never hurt anyone.
I understand why people wouldn't want James in the movie.
Not only do I understand, I support it.
But this is wrong.
I agree. It's really mean. Like, he's not a bad person.
No, he's not. And he's just, like, a musical fanatic.
Yeah, and he's like, a good singer.
But he does, like, really crazy stuff. Like, now I'm thinking about, like, when they were promoting Cinderella.
Yes, and the video of him pumping his crotch at the car. Yeah, I know. I literally saw it yesterday on TikTok.
And I think, like, it's, but so maybe this is a moment for James to reflect.
Yeah.
And be like, okay.
Why am I the way that I am?
No, like, there's things that are good, like, the Carpool Karaoke is good. Like, him good. On that plane with Kanye, that so is good. Good. So we need to make a pros and cons list of James's work.
Yeah.
And we need to start trimming away the things that are rubbing people the
Spilling
wrong way.
Spilling Your Guts is good.
Yes.
Yeah, except I actually did see there was a petition about that, too, because it's, like, insensitive, because a lot of those are, like, cultural foods, and, like, yeah. You're calling them gross. So maybe you just need to switch up the foods. But I think conceptually it's a good way to get celebrities to spill tea.
Yeah, I think as a late night host, he's good.
I think his show is, like, popular.
Yeah.
Celebrities love him.
I would keep that in the pros column.
Ari loves him. That's the thing.
Yeah, no, and he has access to all these celebrities because they just, like, love him as a person.
Him and he went on vacation with Harry Styles and Adele.
Yeah. And everyone was tagging me. He gave Adele a piece of gum that was chewed by Celine Dion or
yes,
something like that.
Yes, it was in her 73 questions.
Yes, yes. Okay, so those are the pros, and I think that's really good. And he's also good at hosting award shows.
Very good.
You know? Cons, obviously, like stopping the streets and
doing music. And you know what? I think I've just kind of put it together because you just made a really good point. Like, he really thrives, and this is him as just being a good host. He thrives in environments that are not about him. Like, he's interviewing celebrities, yes. He's giving other people awards. Where it gets muddy is when he is becoming, like, the star, like in Cats. Like, that's where it gets difficult because he's, like, more of, like, a background. He's perfect as a background piece, but then when he becomes a star in certain movies and musicals, that's where it gets dicey, in my opinion.
But I just feel like Cats was doomed with or without James Corden.
Yeah. See, like, people were annoyed that he was in the Friends reunion, but he was actually excellent. He didn't insert himself too much. It was about the six characters. I thought he was very good in that.
Yeah, and what he did in Cinderella was wrong.
I agree.
Was very wrong. He made it all about him.
Wait, was he in Cinderella?
He was in Cinderella. He played one of the mice that turns into a footman.
Mm.
And when they became footmen, like, they literally had 10 minutes worth of scenes.
Jackie,
of them figuring out, like, oh, how do I pee?
Jackie,
like,
this is so random, but we have to just, I have to tell you something, and then we'll go back to talking about this. You just reminded me of it.
Okay.
When you said footman.
Okay.
At the Potomac reunion, I believe it was Ashley Darby who said, I put my foot in it.
I know.
Jackie, she quoted you via the Proud Family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just had to. I was wanting to.
She
tell
was
you
quoting
that
Sugar Mama. I believe.
I believe too. She put her. What was she talking about?
The coffee and music video.
Yes, coffee and. What was that
Love
song called? Coffee and Love, maybe. Yes, she put her foot in it. Okay, thank you. Back to James Corden. So yes, I did not know he was in Cinderella.
If you saw,
I thought
Cinderella.
He was just helping her promote it in that vile way.
No, he was. He was in it too.
Okay, so yeah, I think we've actually cracked the James Corden code. Once again, free ideas here for James Corden and his team. I think that him wanting to go beyond his abilities, like as a host, are what's rubbing people the wrong way.
No, and like Hollywood just has this problem where like something's working. Okay, we're going to throw it at everything. Totally. And it's like, we are fatigued and you're ruining James Corden. He's a talented man.
Yeah.
We've liked him for so long. You've got to pull back the reins.
Jackie, that's so true. They literally like find something that people like Americans, and they just like shove that person down our throats.
Right.
Meghan Trainor.
Right. And so it's got to stop. But a change.org petition like is a little
mean. It's extra. Bullying.
It's too much.
No. And I think that like we operate in this world where like we think celebrities don't have feelings. But like what if James literally read that? Like
he
that
did.
That would hurt his feelings.
He definitely read it.
Yeah. I think it's mean.
I think he may be laughed at though.
Yeah. I don't know if he's in on the joke. He should get in on the joke. I think that's actually would be a great way for him to get out of this rut he's currently in. Like,
but I could see him like in on the joke and then like going home and
just crying himself to sleep. 100%. He's a sensitive man. He's British. Like I completely agree.
Yeah.
But I just think for his image, like if he got in on the joke and started doing like stories on late night about like the petition, like people would respect him much like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. He should do a story about the petition. There needs to be a line, you guys.
Yeah.
And it was crossed.
100%.
I do think.
But I fully support the message of the petition.
He could have a little part. No, there's no such thing as a little part for James Corden.
No, when you're James Corden, there are no small parts.
He's going to make it
just small actors.
He's going to make it a big part.
100%.
Oh my God, but I could totally see him being like the lion.
Lion?
Because it's like Wizard of Oz.
There's a lion in Wicked?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe no. Not.
I heard that he had already been cast, but I heard that prematurely as Doctor, like the professor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is some content news that I find to be exciting?
It's the final story. James Corden, please don't cry.
That's beautiful. Okay, our fifth and final story is some exciting news. Amazon is launching a new series called The Ferognes, starring Chiara Ferragni and Fedez and their whole family.
You're kidding.
Not kidding. They are Prime Video's newest reality TV family.
That's fabulous. The
show will premiere in December. It filmed throughout
their wedding?
No. It filmed throughout late 2020 and early 2021 while she was pregnant, while Fedez is preparing for a music festival that he's doing.
For those who don't know, Chiara Ferragni was like the OG fashion blogger. She turned her brand into like a $1 billion business. She's the most iconic fashion influencer. I don't even think she's an influencer anymore. Like she used to be the blonde salad, remember? Like
she still does influencer tings. But she's
just
also,
like so rich.
But she's also just like the face of Louis Vuitton. So
right.
Like she's just a celebrity and
she's Italian and she married an Italian pop star, Fedez.
And they are just like the biggest thing in Milan.
They had a baby. Their wedding was like literally a carnival. It was crazy.
She has two sisters who are also influencers, and the whole family is keeping up with the Ferragnes. And
Ferragnes
is Ferragni and Fedez, their names put together. That was
their wedding hashtag. The Ferragnes is.
So that's the name of the show because it's, you know, about their family, which is, I think this is going to be amazing.
No, I think this is groundbreaking. Like, honestly, Amazon has been really slacking in their content recently. Like, I don't remember anything. Like, when we watch viral shows, like, that everyone's watching, none of it has been on Amazon in a really long time. Like, they needed this win, and I'm so going to watch this.
Yeah. Also, she had a documentary a few years ago.
Yeah.
That is also on Prime Video. It was, like, Chiara Ferragni Unposted, and that was pretty good. So, I think this is just going to be great. I feel like every year is so busy for her, but especially in the last year, like, she gave birth, so it's going to be chronicling her pregnancy, but, like, she never slowed down for one fucking second.
No, she's iconic.
She's iconic. She has amazing style. She has, like, access to, like, the
coolest every designer
people, places, things in the world. I think this is going to be an amazing show. And for the promo shoot, Dave LaChapelle shot the art in front of the Duomo in Milan. Like,
the Duomo.
Just sickening.
That is
stuff.
Sickening.
And this is just...
No, the Duomo's in Florence.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually been.
That is true. That's what I meant. Because I know that from the Medici.
Oh, I know it because I've been there and I didn't climb the stairs because it was so hot and I like left my friends halfway.
Oh.
And I got gelato. This is a great idea. I'm very excited. I'm definitely going to be watching it. And I just want to like really, I'm so curious about like her business. Like that's what I would love to know more mm-hmm. about. Like, what does she do? Like, how does she make money? Like everything.
I mean, how does she not make money?
Yeah.
And also, so she has a brand, which like a lot of influencers and celebs have brands, but like her shit is so cute.
Yeah. Like the eyes, the shoes.
So cute.
Yeah. I think I used to have a pair of her loafers.
Yeah. And she actually just came out with a line of jewelry that was so cute and all sold out.
Oh.
But it was sickening stuff.
And she's just like the true definition of like a global lifestyle brand. Like she's literally global.
She is an international lifestyle beauty fashion brand.
Yeah. This is going to be a really good show.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. Well, those were the Fast Five.
Feel so you needed to know them.
And we're not even close to being done because it's Dear Toasters, which is brought to you by The Pill Club. Life is stressful enough. Access to healthcare shouldn't be. Luckily, getting birth control is one less thing you have to worry about with The Pill Club. You'll never have to make a trip to the doctor or wait in line at the pharmacy ever again. They provide access to care from the comfort of your own home and delivery to your door in discreet packaging. They carry over 120 FDA-approved brands at The Pill Club. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, their prices start super low at just $9 a month without insurance. They deliver birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging. And right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/toast, The Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Morning Toast listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. So not only are you saving money on birth control, you don't have to go out to the doctor, it's all getting delivered, you're also helping people in need get access to birth control. So that's thepillclub.com/toast to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Remember, that's thepillclub.com/toast, and you have to use that link if you want the donation to go through.
Great.
Okay, Dear Toasters, our advice segment we do every Tuesday here at The Morning Toast. If you ever want to email us your submission, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. You can change people's names. We will always keep you anonymous. And just let us know how you're doing. All right, first up. Hello, Claudia, Jackie, Theo, and Bruno. First of all, I love you both so much. Jackie, congrats on the Bibic, and Claude, congrats on the tour. You guys are my favorites. My best friend and I literally dressed as you guys for Halloween this year. She said you reposted her.
Oh, have fun.
Okay.
We got some good costumes this year.
I have a close-knit group of 9 girlfriends from high school. Most of us live in different cities now, but have been best friends for about 10 years now. We're all meeting in Houston to go to your show, Claudia. Oh my God, yes. The first of us got engaged in September and immediately let us know that they had already booked a baller venue in Houston on the evening of October 1st, 2022. It's going to be one of those big fat Greek weddings that I would die if I missed. Not to mention, we are all obsessed with her fiance and love her family like it's our own. Now for the conflict. Halloween morning, my mom sent a text in our family group text. My only girl cousin had just gotten engaged. I immediately squealed and sent my cousin multiple congratulatory texts, to which she responded, "Make sure you are free on October 1st, October 2022. Fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck. I responded with, "Oh no, one of my best friends is getting married that day," to which she responded, "Wait, is that a joke? LOL." Oh my God, she's already a bridezilla. My cousin and I are not super close. She estranged herself from our entire family for about 3 years. It was truly the strangest thing, but all is well now, thankfully. She told me that she is planning a smaller wedding at our family's lake house about an hour outside Houston. I would go if there wasn't another wedding that day, but it feels strange that I have to justify going to one wedding over another. On the one hand, I don't want to miss out on being with my family at my cousin's wedding. Think of the family portraits that I won't be in, but I would also have the most FOMO-iest FOMO ever if I missed out on my friend's wedding that same day. What should I do? I feel guilty for pulling the "I heard about this wedding first and it's going to be more fun" card, but I also know that that family is family and I would be hurt if my only girl cousin didn't come to my wedding, whenever that will be. But I also love my friend like family and would be equally sad if she wasn't there at my big day either. Sincerely, help. Oh, I don't fucking know.
I don't know either.
Like, honestly, like, life is about doing the things you want to do. And you want to go to your friend's wedding, and I just think you should go. I know that sounds terrible because family is everything.
Either way, someone's going to be disappointed. You're going to be missing out on something. So just go to the one that you would rather go to. Like, at least just... There's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. Like, you can only go to one. Just make a choice. Obviously, you should probably, like, do the family is first. But, like, some reason, it just, you didn't sell it.
Yeah, no, you didn't sell it at all. Like, because we're so family. Like, always, like, even if it sucks, like, you go to the family thing. But I don't know. I'm just, like, not feeling convinced. And I think that you should go to your friend's wedding.
Yeah, I think you should really look inward on this one. There's no magical answer how to make everyone happy here.
Right, you can't do both. They're an hour away. They're the same day. You can't do both, so you really just need to choose.
Yeah, and whichever one you were to choose, like, there's going to be...
Repercussions.
So you just have to make a choice.
And you know, if you do choose your friend's wedding, like, you just need to know, like, can you live with that decision? Like, you'll always be gone from the pictures. I need to know more about the relationship with this cousin. Like, you were estranged for 3 years, but, like, are you guys super close now?
She said we're close. Things are good.
No, she said we're not super close.
No, but she didn't say super close, but she did say things are good. I do think she was trying to, like, downplay it so that we would tell her to go to her friend's wedding. Because that's what she wants to hear.
She said, my cousin and I aren't super close. She estranged herself from our entire family for about 3 years.
Because that's what you want to hear, because that's what you want to do. So just do what you want to do and just deal with the consequences.
Yeah, I think in, like, this post-COVID world, like, we should all just be doing what we want to do. Like, life's too short.
Life's too short
to, like, miss out on a really fun wedding.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. I do. But also because you literally sold it that way.
But you have our blessing, whatever you decide to do. So just know that. And if your cousin's upset, be like, the Morning Toast told me to go.
Yeah. Send her this episode. Maybe you shouldn't have estranged yourself from your family for 3 years if you wanted your cousin to come to your wedding.
And you can send her this episode so that she can know what it feels like. Because I think all of the listeners right now don't know what to say to you.
No, and, like, all the listeners are conflicted because family is always first. But the way you read this email to us, like, obviously you should go to your friend's wedding. So, like, you, like, kind of gaslit us all.
I don't know. I just think that you should just make a choice, stick with it. It sucks regardless, but it'll also be fun regardless.
Yeah, but, like, that's not a helpful piece of advice. Like, she asked for which wedding to go to, and you literally just told her to make a decision.
I gave her permission to make whatever decision she wanted. Yeah, that's true. What I did.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes all you need is a little permission. Mm-hmm. Okay, next up. Hello, thank you both for brightening my weekdays. Here's a little dating history. I've had a couple serious relationships over 3 years in my life, and then I was single for 4 years where I probably went on about 30 dates. Some turned semi-serious, some didn't make it past the first date. I've lived in the same city for 5 years and I absolutely love it. My parents are moving here soon and I have amazing friends here. I've been dating a man for 2 years now who is everything I'd hoped I would find. He is my favorite person in the world, but we are long distance in different states due to his job and other commitments. I only see him a few times a year. My quandary, I'm so freaking lonely sometimes. I feel like I should just date someone in my own city, even though I wasn't able to find anyone nearly as compatible in the years I was looking. My boyfriend can't move here because of his work and family, and if he did, it would be 10 plus years down the road. Me moving there is the most probable option, but I have my family here for me, and I haven't lived near them since high school. Plus, my friends are here, and I love the city so much. Help, do I move? Try it out for a while, and even though his time is still limited, I'd be in a new city chilling on my own. Should I try and find someone in my own city that's less complicated? Thank you in advance for your unfiltered opinions and thoughtful advice. I truly need it. XOXO, a daily toaster. I just want to say one thing before about this girl. That's the only thing that's concerning me. Is, like, kind of the way you're writing this email, you're, like, really analytical. Like you're a data analyst. Well, I dated here and we had X compatibility. And now we have this man with Y compatibility, but the distance is Y over X.
But listen, you know what? I'm not going to fault you for being a rational thinker. You know, you could put a little more feeling into it.
Yeah, it's but love.
Some people like lead only with their feelings and don't use their head at all.
And that's chaotic.
And that's chaotic too. Like someone who would jump from like city to city just like, so I'm not going to fault you too much, but I agree.
But like, my advice would be like, put your heart into it a little bit. Like if, does the idea of moving and being with your boyfriend make you so happy that it can forego the fact that you're not near your family anymore? Or does the idea of going to find someone new in your own city and breaking up with your current boyfriend break your heart? Like, I need to know how you're feeling.
What do you love more? Like, your hometown, your family, your life, your friends, or this man?
And I'm just not getting any, feelings from you. I don't know how you feel. Do you love this man? Or
she said that they're really, like, that this is the guy.
It's giving robot.
It is giving robot, but, like, she's giving facts.
You know, which is super, super helpful, especially in a Dear Toasters, because we're always, like, looking for, you know, supplementary facts.
But, I mean, just the idea of you moving to be with him, like, this better be the greatest love of all time, or else you're setting yourself up for failure. No friends, like, no family. He works all the time. Like, but if this is your person, your soulmate, like, you go there and you start your new life and you start a family.
And yeah, right, you make your own life. Like, your kids are your
friends. You can't live for your high school friends and your hometown.
But do you love this man? That I didn't gather.
Do you love him more than your hometown?
It sounds like you ran a compatibility test like on the internet when we used to do it with your kids. Like Claudia and Maverick, 98% compatible.
Yeah, but sometimes I can love you more than my hometown.
So true also.
So, and that's apparently a normal position to have, so.
Yeah, I just need more information from you, like from your heart. Like, where is your heart in this?
I think you need to look inward. That's two for two on looking inward today. And put aside the charts and the data points.
Yeah. Close your laptop.
Close your laptop and just ruminate in your feelings.
Close your laptop, close your eyes, and open your heart.
Yeah. I don't know how, maybe a drink maybe could do that.
Yeah, you seem like someone who's not overly emotional, which I love, because I think sometimes when people write us in, like, they're so led by emotion and, like, not rational. But I think actually the pendulum has swung the other way. Like, I could use a little, I love this man something, like some emotion.
Yeah.
That's all I need. So I'd actually.
But you can't keep doing like this where you're like, you're lonely. Because she, but like she did say that, you know, she's lonely without him. So, and that, either you guys have to break up or you have to move there. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. The way it's going now is not going to work.
No, it's making me sad.
Okay, final one. Dear Claudia and Jackie, first-time writer, long-time toaster here. I have a very complicated family problem that I would love to get your input on. My family is super close. So close that my sister-in-law has become my absolute best friend and the sister that I never had. I do have an actual sister, but we're not as close. That's so
the
mean.
The sister that I... That's so mean.
That is so mean. Anyways, this sister-in-law, Mary-Kate, has a twin sister, Ashley.
Stop.
Ashley has also become our adopted sister-in-law and also best friend. The three of us have had babies together, got married together, have been there through good and bad for each other. We celebrate all holidays and birthdays together with our families, usually always at my parents' house. That's like nice, but weird, but nice.
Yeah.
Well, Mary-Kate has recently filed for divorce from my brother. Devastated isn't even a strong enough word to describe how we all feel. It feels like our entire family is going through the big divorce. We were all blindsided, my brother included. No one did anything bad. They just weren't meant to be, according to Mary-Kate. Though I understand why she wants a divorce, I'm heartbroken. I feel like I've lost my sister and best friend. I feel like I'm losing Ashley as well. I can't imagine not seeing Ashley's kids grow up, and I can't imagine Ashley and Mary-Kate not seeing my kids grow up or be in my life. We literally talk to each other all day, every day. I'm so torn. I feel obligated to my brother to back off from Mary-Kate and also Ashley by association, but they are truly my best friends and my sisters. Ashley's kids think that my parents are their grandparents, and my parents see her kids as their grandchildren. What would you do if you were in my situation? Would you continue your relationship with Mary-Kate and Ashley? Would you back off for a while? I don't want to hurt my brother's feelings, but I don't want to lose these girls. They're my best friends and support system. Please help. Sincerely, a heartbroken sister-in-law. Oh my God, that's so sad. But you know what? The good thing is that your brother and Mary-Kate still have kids together, so this girl will be in your life forever.
Yeah.
And it's so fresh right now that I think like you should take a step back, just like support your brother, but they'll get to a place where they can co-parent and you'll all be family and you'll still do holidays together with your new spouses because you have kids together.
Yeah.
So if your family is as open and warm as they sound, I think that right now it's awkward and you should be there for your brother. But in a year's time, like, I actually think because they have kids together, you guys will still be seeing each other a lot and it'll be okay and acceptable for you to be super close.
Yeah. I would say as long as the divorce proceedings are going amicably, like, I don't know why things have to change that much. And just talk to your brother about it and make sure that he's okay with that. And that, like,
I think the brother, it sounds like, is going to need time. Like, he was completely blindsided by her wanting to get divorced.
Oh.
That's what I felt like. Like, he's heartbroken. Not angry, but like so sad.
So it's like, okay, if you take a step back to be there for your brother, that will affect your relationship with Mary-Kate. Like, because you chose sides and it wasn't hers and she's your best friend. But of but course you brother. Have to choose a brother. But maybe one day Mary-Kate gets married to a new man and that could be like the brother you never had. No, I'm kidding. This is really, really hard. I would keep in touch with everyone, keep tabs on everyone, make sure your brother feels supported. And I think you can still talk to Mary-Kate and Ashley as long as things aren't contentious in the divorce. And then you'd have to make a hard choice.
Yeah.
But try and keep everyone together.
Yeah, try. And it's on you because you have put yourself in this position as being like the sister-in-law of all sister-in-laws.
And you know who's having the last laugh? Your sister.
Literally! Like, so completely unaffected. Your actual sister, completely unaffected by this. Like, oh, she's Mary-Kate's like, gone?
You chose strangers?
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Literally! Oh my God, that is so funny. No, but that is quite a pickle. Like, I'm sorry, but you gotta stay with family, but do your best to keep everyone, like, don't let it get dark. Divorce gets dark so quickly.
Yeah. You got, like, if you want to keep the family together, like, you're going to have to put in the work.
It's on you.
And you're going to make sure everyone's communicating, that, like, that no fight goes festers. Like, yeah. But I think it's worth it because this family unit that you're describing is so beautiful.
And it's also worth it for Mary-Kate and your brother's kids. Like, you want them to have, like, a good...
And nothing should change for the kids, really.
Yeah.
So you can always say, like, well, the kids have to see each other. So, Mary-Kate, like, let's go get drinks.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it'll get to... It's, like, bad now, but I think in a year, it'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
As long as divorce goes well.
Yes, I agree. But
that's a big if.
Just monitor the situation, keep tabs on everything, keep everyone together. And I think you can have your cake and eat it too.
Agreed. Thank you to everyone who wrote into Dear Toasters. Again, if you ever want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. And if you've written us in recently and have an update for us on how things went, please email us. We want to hear from you. deartoasters@gmail.com. That's our show.
That is our show. Nobody else's show.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations. To let us know that you made it, what emoji should you leave on our most recent Instagram post?
Maybe... You're so much better at this than I am. I can't think of my feet.
Okay, James Corden.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, like maybe a witch hat.
Give us witchy vibes.
Witchy vibes in honor of
James Corden and his heart feelings. Bye.
Bye.